I was raped. And that's why I just felt when I found out that I was carrying the baby, I felt there was no other way out than terminate the baby. That's why. Yeah.
What do you remember of that time when you made that decision?
The weeks working up after my rape were quite long. I didn't sleep. I didn't know I was pregnant at the time. I was in and out of hospital for different swabs and all that. And when it came back, when I wasn't feeling well, a couple of weeks after being raped, I went to my doctor. And she just said, look, you know, we'll do a couple of tests. And she said, look, the worst of the worst. She said, you have pregnancy test is positive. And I remember just thinking, no, no, why me? Why is God doing this to me? It was long. I thought about it, you know, for a while. I was thinking, you know, what's my alternative? But I had no other way than to terminate the pregnancy, which I did.
Did you tell anyone about your decision?
Yeah, I spoke with my mum and I spoke with my sister, who I'm very, very close to. And she was young at the time. And I remember my sister saying, oh, you know, we love the baby. And I knew genuinely in my heart, if I could carry on with the pregnancy, I knew I would love the child. But in the back of my mind was thinking, you know, this is a rape and this child doesn't deserve to have a father who's a rapist, and for me to try and carry on with my life as normal after if I brought the child into the world. And I spoke with my mum, and my mum just said, you know, whatever you decide, we will stand by you. We didn't tell my father for quite a while because of health issues, and we knew he would take it bad, which he did. Didn't speak to me for quite a while and couldn't really look me in the eye for a long time.
Was there an investigation into the rape?
There was, yeah. The night that I got attacked, it was a cold, cold night. And we had been out. It was my 18th birthday. We were in a nightclub. But to make a long story short, we left the nightclub and we all went separate directions. Don't know to this day why, because we used to always get a taxi home. But we decided we'd go our separate ways. And the man that actually found me in the lane rang the guards, and the guards came and picked me up. I was brought to the nearby hospital where I had an awful lot of bruising, and a band guard there came out and they had to take all my clothes. And I remember thinking, what is happening to me? This is meant to be an 18 party where you can just have so much fun. But unfortunately, I was on the road to Cork with the Gardaí on tow, met by a doctor in Cork, a lady doctor who was unbelievable. She took my hand and she told me it'll be okay. The person who raped me was known to me, and I'd given his name to the guards, and they went to his house and he was arrested. And a fine was sent to the DPP. When I got a few threatening calls in, if I did anything about it or carry it on or whatever, he told me he would come back to get me. But I stood in my 2 feet and I was like, you're not going to get away with it. You know, why should someone like this get away with it? And you have to remember, at the point, I didn't know I was pregnant. So when everything was kind of ready to go to court or wherever they go, my rapist committed suicide. And about 4 weeks before he committed suicide, I had found out I was pregnant. And he knew that. I shut out the pregnancy for quite a while. When I found out first I was pregnant, I shut it out because I felt that I can't be dealing with this now. I've been raped and now there's a child involved. So I suppose for me, I had to live on with my life, and the rapist was dead.
When you had the termination, was he still alive at that stage?
Yeah, he was still alive at the stage. Yeah, he was, yeah. And I suppose the termination was a big part of my life because I did the trip to London myself. I got a phone number for Mary Stopes Clinic, and that's in Dublin. You go up there and they'll scan you and they will give you a letter to attend their clinic in London. And when you ring the clinic, they'll take your name and they'll ask you for a password. So I was saying, what do I need? So they said, look, you need your £350. You need your letter from Dublin. You need your letter from the hospital and the scan. When I got to London, there is a guy standing outside the departure or the arrivals gate, and he's holding a big billboard with your name on it. And I just felt like, oh, obviously he's so used to this, because he was like, oh, hi, you're going to the clinic. And I'm like, yeah. I felt, God, here he knows I'm going to terminate a baby. So on the road, it was about 45 minutes drive that I'd taken, and trying to make conversation, you know, he just chatting about, you know, how many Irish girls are coming over every week, and there were the usual taxi service. The clinic, I'll always remember driving into it, it's like all trees, and it was in the countryside, and there was trees everywhere, and the most magnificent house I could ever think. And I was thinking, this can't be the right place that you're going. But it was. I got out of the taxi and there was a lot of protesters. They were screaming and shouting at me, you know, you're killing your baby. And I was thinking, if you knew, I've been raped and this is why I'm here. And you press the buzzer and you give your name and they ask you for the password. So when you give the password, you're left in.
Were some of those protesters, were they speaking directly to you?
Oh yeah, straight to your face, roaring and shouting. Quite intimidating for what someone has to go through when you go in there. A lot of roaring and shouting, and there was quite maybe about 20 people there. And when I get inside, I said to the nurse, you know, actually the receptionist, said, well, you know, what's the story here? And she's like, that's every day. Just take no notice.
What happened after that?
It works that you go into a room where there's like five or six chairs. They're like recliner chairs. And you go into this really, really cold, cold room. It's like, and I actually asked them why it's so cold, because they said that it's such a severe procedure that a lot of girls faint in there. And this is why it's so cold. Quite a loud, loud sound. And it goes on for maybe about 10 minutes. And then it's all over. And then the doctor will just say, oh yeah, I've got it. That's it. Go out, have a cup of tea and sit on the chair, which you do for another 45 minutes. And because your time is so restricted, you're actually watching the time all the time, because you're watching the flights to go back home. You go outside, and if you want a cup of tea, you have a cup of tea or coffee or whatever you want. But it was the coldness of the room. It was very, very cold.
Did you get to speak to any of the other women or get to know any of the other women in the clinic?
There is all different nationalities. No one's actually talking, you know. Everyone's kind of wondering who's with who. Now, there was no partners or husbands or anything with these people, because it's such a small area. They tell you, you know, just drop off your person and come back in a couple of hours. They'll ring you. But I happened to meet an Irish girl there. We decided we'd share a taxi back to the airport. And I remember she caught my hand as we left. and we held her hands really tight. And she kept saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I remember thinking, I hope it is. I hope that I can have the strength to go on. Because when I felt that way, I felt very, very alone. In the back of my mind, I didn't know if I wanted to be alive or dead. You know, and I had those thoughts for a long time after. I had nightmares for a long time after. And as I say, I have my own house now and I don't have a Hoover. To me, it's something that brings back the memory. I was back in Ireland within the day. I left Cork at about 7 and I was back about 8:30 that night. A family friend of mine was actually there at the airport to bring me back home, where I had severe pain.
How do you think it's affected your life?
It affected my life at the very start when this happened, when the rape was done. I was afraid to walk down the street. I was afraid to go out. I was afraid to speak to somebody because I thought, you know, what was done to me can be done again. And I lost my confidence. Went into a little shell where I'd go to work and I would barely speak. My boss took me aside one day and asked me what was wrong. And then I remember thinking, you know, I should tell you because you've been so good to me. And I remember he caught my hand. He's like, whatever it is, you know, we'll get over it. But he said, you know, he said, your work is suffering here. And I just said to him, look, I've been through a really, really bad couple of weeks. And I said, I'm back now and I'll try and do my very best to get back into work. But that didn't happen. I went off the rails for quite a bit. In saying I went off the rails, I just didn't care if I didn't show up for work. I didn't care if I was thrown out of home. I didn't care because I wouldn't listen to nobody. Because I felt like, oh, hang on, I've been raped. I'm the victim here. You know, have pity for me. And I remember it wasn't until someone said to me, hang on, take a look at your life. What do you want? And I remember turning around saying, I want to be dead. I don't want to be here. And I remember picking up the phone and ringing Samaritans. I'm like, I was so young. You know, when you think back and thinking, oh my God, how am I going to say to these people? I remember bringing them up and saying hi, and a lovely lady at the back of the phone said, you know, hi, how can I help you, whatever. She said, would you like to come in for tea or coffee? And I said, I actually want to be dead. I want to die. I don't know how or how I was going to do it, but in my mind I wanted to be dead. So I went up there and I spoke with them, and she put my mind to, you know, the ease, and just told me there's plenty of help out there. And I got involved with the Rape Crisis Centre then. I had been involved with them after my attack, but I never kind of kept going. So I went back there, and from meetings to meetings, I did really well. Got my confidence back. I went on to meet my husband. I met him about 2 years later, and the day I met him, the day I spoke with him, and the day we sat down that, you know, that evening and just talked, I told him straight out how I was feeling and what I'd been through and that I wanted to die. He told me he'd help me, and he did.
I think everyone listening to your story would feel so sorry for what happened to you, for the fact that you were raped. But what would you say to the argument coming from some people, some very compassionate people, who would say it was wrong, it was terrible that you were raped, but they would say you were wrong to go and have determination?
I would say to those people is, until you know what it's like to be raped, never judge a book by its cover, and never judge someone who has a determination. I had an option. I could have brought a child into the world. I'm not saying the child could have been a rapist, but I don't know.
What decided you that you were going to go to the UK?
It was a Friday night. and the Late Late Show was on. And a couple of things had brought up about abortions on the Late Late Show. And I remember thinking, the guy who's raped me is out around the town. He could be raping other girls. I don't know. And I felt that, you know, I have to do this for myself, because if I had the child, I don't know if I would be what I am today. Would I be a patient, you know, a person who needed constant medication? There's always a side effect to everything. And I felt that for me, I had no other option than do it. It was a tough decision to make, but I think for me personally, I made the right decision. And yeah.
Do you know, would it have been a boy or girl?
Yeah, they work, how they work over in London is that once you're past the so many weeks over there, they will tell you, you know, when you go into the room in the clinic, they'll say, okay, they're quite stiff and stern. So they'll say, oh, it's a boy, and you were 10 weeks and 4 days. I don't know if they do that to make maybe see, you know, are you going to stop? Because they do, in fairness, they do say, are you sure? Are you 100% sure? And up to the last minute you go in that door, they keep asking that question. For me, it was hard, but I don't think I would turn back time now if, you know, if it was the other way. I don't think I would have not had the abortion.
Do you think of what he might have been like?
I would have, going back a couple of years ago, I wonder, because I have a son myself now who I'm very, very proud of. I would have wondered, you know, would he have been as bright as he was? Would he have been as good as he was? I always think about it. There's a place in a graveyard, and they have a saying there, known to God. Every time I pass that, I just always bless myself. And I wouldn't be a holy person. I wouldn't. But I always just say, you know, just bless myself. And I always say hello to all those little babies, because they're there. And it's the son I suppose I never knew. I'm sure if he was born and if I carried on with the pregnancy, he wouldn't have wanted to be brought into the world the way he was. I was raped at 2:15. And to this day, I still wake up at 2:15.
Is there any possibility that your decision to have the termination, could that have contributed to the suicidal feelings you had, or was it all solely because you were raped?
I think rape is a hard word. Until you actually know what someone goes through for rape, it's very hard to put into perspective, because the night I was raped, he actually hopped my face so hard off the ground that I had 2 black eyes. I couldn't roar or shout. I couldn't do anything. And I remember as he walked away, he gave me such a kick in the side that I just wanted to die there and then.
And when you reached that point where you had suicidal feelings, some anti-abortion campaigners would say that women are emotionally destroyed after having a termination. Do you think having the decision to have the termination played any role in your suicidal feelings, or was it all because you were raped?
I think all because I was raped. Yeah.
The last number of weeks have been very difficult for you, because of the tragic death of Savita Halappanavar and the ensuing controversies. What do you think should be done now? An expert group on abortion published their report. They're saying what needs to be done now is that we need to bring in legislation, regulation. What do you think should be done?
The weeks after her pregnancy, she wasn't feeling well. And I know we can say she would, but if she had the termination, she could still be here today. And not only has a husband lost a wife, but he's lost his daughter. And a family's in grief. I do think if it's a matter of life and death, suicide, yeah, I would say suicide. And a rape, I think they should have no, there should be no investigation at all. They should be entitled to termination.
And you think they should be entitled to have it here in Ireland?
Yeah, I do. It's a long journey to go over and come back, and it's a lonely journey. Even if you have someone with you, it's still lonely because what you've been through